Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They have to understand I chose to stay in my country because I'm French.
And the Bernabeu brings it back!
I haven't got a problem with soccer, to be fair.
Football.
Into the area to Bernabeu! Oh, what a start!
Well, what I can guarantee to you is that they want to keep everything secret.
Baby, welcome out to Champions YouTube friends. Drop in your comments and questions in the chat and make sure you hammer the like and subscribe buttons as we preview the second leg of the round of 16 games in the UEFA Champions League. In the house of champions tonight, we got three champions. There's Michael LaHood, there's Jonathan Johnson, and there's James Benge. I guess I should start with no, I'm not coming to you, Mike. I'm coming to you, James Benge, first man. What a crazy ending to the Arsenal game. That was a weekend. One of the best finishes to a game I have ever seen in Premier League history, mate. How was it in attendance?
That's the great... I've been to some amazing venues. I've been to some amazing games. That's the greatest atmosphere I've ever witnessed in a football match. Certainly at the Emirates Stadium, which famously was a bit of a library for about a decade. Just the most incredible game. The energy, the atmosphere, seeing there was a child on the pitch and Mikel Arteta was like, who put this child on the pitch? And, you know, it was just unforgettable. The weekend only got better from there on out, didn't it, Mike LaHood?
you just had to come to me.
We're not coming to you yet. We're going to Paris first. Jonathan Johnson, PSG got the victory. Was Mbappe record breaking once again? Nice to be in attendance for that one.
But you're not going to ask me about Villa getting back to back wins thanks to Joachim Andersen's own goal. I mean, that's what we're here for, right? No, I mean, obviously, huge achievement by Kylian Mbappe, and then you saw the scenes at Parc des Princes afterwards. Very fitting, I think, for him to be celebrated the way that he was for surpassing Edinson Cavani's record. But it's going to be worth nothing if they end up going out to Bayern in the Champions League this week. So looking forward to getting to that with you guys in a bit.
The time has come, Michael. The time has come for you to speak here. I'm also a Manchester United fan, as you well and truly know. I feel like there's a lesson to be learned from this performance, this result at the weekend, but maybe there's not a lesson to be learned. That was an absolute hammer, mate.
Oh, man. James, when you said there was a child on the pitch, I thought you were referring to Bruno Fernandes. Because we'll get into that when we get into United. But hey, some days you just get absolutely mauled, and it just happens to be at Anfield when it comes to Manchester United. I don't even want to get into the weeds about it. Let's just get it into the Champions League because I'll start cussing.
All right, just for you, Michael, we'll move on to the Champions League. It is the round of 16 second leg fixtures. Really looking forward to obviously all of them taking place. But there's one in particular I have my eyes and my attention on. And that, of course, is the game at Stamford Bridge between Chelsea and Borussia Dortmund. Dortmund have that 1-0 advantage. Going into the second leg, Chelsea finally got a win at the weekend, James Benge. But what did we learn, if anything at all, from that win at the weekend over Leeds?
I mean, yes, they won. They continue to be on this sort of, I mean, I don't know if this is what Todd Boehly's plan was all along, but it's like an art house project to see who can come up with the most bizarre, ludicrous way in which to not score a goal. And I mean, if that is the case, then give this guy Kai Havertz an Oscar because he is broadening, opening new horizons in the art of somehow missing brilliant chances. But they won. The pressure eased a little bit. I think the fact it was against Leeds is really important. That's a game that no Chelsea fan would accept losing. And actually, you can see an upwards trajectory from a very low point and with an awful lot to do in front of goal, but the chances are coming. They might all be clanging back off the post or going too close to the goalkeeper. But I think the worry, if you're Borussia Dortmund, is look, I mean, Havertz might be a bad finisher, but João Felix is not. Raheem Sterling is not. Eventually, they've underperformed their XG in the last 10 games. I think they've got about 13 XG in those 10 league and European games, and they've scored 4 goals. Everything we know about XG, everything we know about these players says that will start kind of regressing towards the mean eventually, and Chelsea will start scoring goals. So I think there's a reason for hope. I don't think, I mean, you know, this isn't 2012 all over again. They're not going to turn this round and win the Champions League. But I think Dortmund might be thinking, God, we should have punished them and got more from the home leg.
Equally, though, I think as well, Dortmund will be buoyed by the fact that they are already one goal up on aggregate, knowing that despite the fact that Chelsea look like they might be on the verge of an uptick in form, that they still have that extra goal. So if they do manage to score this midweek, you know, then that's probably going to make things pretty difficult for Chelsea, at least, you know, to sort of take them to extra time, if not put the tie beyond them completely. I mean, it feels like, you know, perhaps we might be in for Chelsea improving domestically between now and the end of the season, but I still think it's going to be very, very tight for them in this game against Dortmund. And I think really if Dortmund can get a goal, which I believe they will, then it will probably be enough to knock Chelsea out.
Well, if you turn your attention, Mike, to Borussia Dortmund and the fact that they're on this incredible winning streak right now, 2023 seems to be their year. They can't stop winning games. Defensively, they're a lot better. They're not conceding many goals. I think they've only conceded, what, 5 goals over the last 9 games, something like that. Yeah. They're now back in a title challenge race with Bayern Munich, and that is something we did not expect to happen this year. So something's going very, very right for Borussia Dortmund. So what needs to go right for Dortmund in this game for them to knock Chelsea out?
I think I look at the back line first and foremost, and it's the consistency that we're seeing in the back line. The partnership between Süle and Schlotterbeck is getting better. At the weekend against RB Leipzig, though, there were cracks in the pavement. That's going to come with a Dortmund team that plays very expansive. You see the number of players in attack that they put forward. I mean, they get both outside backs bombing forward at any given time. Rafa Guerrero, he's a player that he's come to life in this post-World Cup sort of vein of form they found. But all eyes will be on two players. Number one, Jude Bellingham. We'll get to him shortly. But the guy that's actually been in fuego for him, Julian Brandt. This guy got denied for scoring his fifth straight goal in, what, 5 games in a row? Got denied, I think it was a VAR call at the last minute, just before half. But I think that Borussia Dortmund, they are the team in form. And they are the team that I think will have a slighter edge in this matchup.
Ian, I got a bit of a question for you on a Dortmund theme. Obviously, yeah. Alexander Meyer seemed like an okay game on Friday night, but everything we hear is that Gregor Kobel is going to be out. Now, I know a lot of people that watch mostly Premier League and maybe don't watch the Bundesliga a lot might not know too much about him, but if nothing else, he's in the FIFA EA Sports FIFA Team of the Week every week. This guy seems like a really impressive goalkeeper.
You were talking about Kubo here? Or are we talking about Kubo. Meyer?
Not Meyer. Yeah. I don't know.
No, listen. Well, James, you have to think about the fact that he was thrown in at the deep end at Borussia Dortmund, right? Defensively, they haven't been great, right? Mm. So the goalkeeper before, which was Roman Bürki, who's now playing in Major League Soccer, basically wanted to leave because of all of the goals he was conceded and how crap their defense has been for such a long period of time, that it's a very difficult job. Kubo came in and actually had a pretty decent record coming into the club. But his first season, if you go back and look at the stats, were not good. Conceded a ton of goals, made a bunch of errors, and there was a lot more shots coming at him. I mean, defensively, Dortmund were just woeful. They've also gone through trainer change, so coaching change after coaching change. And that's also difficult to deal with for any new player that's come into a club. But he's a very, very good goalkeeper. There's no doubt about it. I still think there's more to come from this Borussia Dortmund defense to help him in front. But this is a change. And I do believe, I think Meyer will start and go. And if I'm not mistaken, he's now in his 30s, Meyer now. Mm. And he has played 4 Champions League games only. So there's not many minutes there for them where, yeah, I would say that you've got to question that back line going up against Chelsea. But realistically, do we have to question that back line going up against Chelsea? Because there's a great comment coming in right here, JJ. This one comes in from Vic, and he says, can Chelsea score two goals with a question mark? He doesn't know. And he's a Chelsea fan. He doesn't know if Chelsea, if you think of all the players that they've got, all the players that they've signed, he doesn't know if they can score two goals against Borussia Dortmund. Now, that would be my question, but my question would also be is, can Chelsea stop Dortmund from scoring goals? Because right now, nobody seems to be able to stop Dortmund from scoring goals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that is probably going to be the biggest challenge. It's sort of linked to the point that I was trying to make earlier, where Dortmund already have that one goal advantage from the first leg. Do I see them scoring at least once in this second leg? Yeah, doesn't necessarily mean that I see them winning on the night, but I do think it puts them in a stronger position to win the tie. And you look at some of the games that Dortmund have won recently, not just that victory over Leipzig, by the way, but that victory over Freiburg as well. It's a massive win a couple of weeks ago. It's what, 5-1, something like that. You know, so Dortmund do have this sort of appetite for big games coming back as well, which is not what you want to hear, you know, when you're Chelsea coming into this one, because despite the fact that things are starting to look a little better, a little brighter, you know, is it going to be enough unless there's some, you know, unexpected, you know, hot streak where, you know, all of these shots that are going sort of in and around the goal, but not quite into it, you know, start finding the back of the net. For me, I find it difficult to see Chelsea getting past Dortmund, assuming that Dortmund do get the goal, because, I mean, you know, I could see Chelsea sort of eking out a 1-0 win, which obviously would take it to extra time, potentially penalties. I agree with Rick. I don't see Chelsea scoring two goals very easily in this one, and I certainly don't see them keeping Dortmund out, especially if the match goes beyond 90 minutes.
I think, and I think you're onto something there, JJ, but Chelsea were knocking on the door in the first leg. This, we have to remember, this wasn't just a Dortmund blowout. This was a Chelsea team that I thought were the better team throughout the course of the 90 minutes and should have had a goal. And the misfiring Chelsea, this is why we're here. This is why they are in the place that they're in. João Felix, though, he is the player that looked just a cut above from Chelsea players. He's been the one player who's gone closest next to Kai Havertz. I think if he gets that early goal, this could be the game where the dam breaks for Chelsea. Early goal will be a difference in this tie.
I think so too. I think you have to look at that early goal. I also want to just touch upon real quickly the midfield battle there. Producer Des, if you can put that graphic back up there. Listen, James, we've got a great battle going on between two fantastic players. Enzo Fernandez, obviously a World Cup winner. Jude Bellingham probably is going to be the most expensive departure from the Bundesliga in history. Both incredible players. But this is where the game could essentially be won or lost. So who do you think has the advantage in that midfield area?
I mean, the challenge is they're quite different players, aren't they? I do agree with you that whoever wins that battle probably wins the game. Enzo is going to want to set the tempo. I don't think Jude Bellingham minds if the opposition set the tempo. He is crash, bang, wallop, all energy. I mean, he could do a Enzo Fernandez job for you. He's that varied and multi-skilled. But I think in this Dortmund team, he is the guy that picks the ball up off the defence and within a blink, you know, he's in the final third driving at you. I think he's their top scorer as well, as you know, gets assists, wins tackles, does the lot. I think if the game is played at Bellingham's pace, Dortmund have got a really good chance. They're going to want this to be a bit of a breakneck game. Chelsea are going to want to just sort of slowly apply the chokehold, and I think Enzo Fernandez is vital in this. Can I answer the two questions, the one that you asked and the one that Vic asked?
Yes,
I think Chelsea are going to score two goals. I actually think they're going to score three. Mm. Give them 2 hours to do it. Give them extra time. And I think they can't stop Dortmund scoring either. So I'm going 3-1. There's a prediction for you.
So wait a minute. So what you're saying is it's going to be 1-0 at 90 minutes?
2-1. No away goals. So this is the thing. There's no away. Like, this Dortmund win would have been perfect pre-away goals, because they just need to go and score and they've got a huge advantage. But someone correct me if I'm wrong, because I keep worrying about this. Now that there's no away goals, it's, you know, suddenly the, you know, netting one at Stamford Bridge isn't quite the bit of gold dust it was a few years ago. So kind of for that reason, I've got it 2-1 at the final whistle, and then Chelsea get the third.
I actually love that, James, as well. When you consider the fact that UEFA got rid of that away goal, I think it's made the games a lot more intense now. And we can expect, really, Dortmund to go for it here in this because they need to score goals. They know that Chelsea will be a danger. Mike, what you got here is your prediction.
I go 2-1 Borussia Dortmund, get the win and win this tie. Dortmund do have a lapse, and it comes on either side of the halves. They're good in starting. They bring the energy. I expect him to bring the energy. They will need to bring the energy. But Dortmund do have depth in ways Chelsea does not right now. I think they have too much for Chelsea on the night.
Chelsea have definitely got depth. It's the one thing they have got.
They do have depth in terms of numbers, but depth and quality, and quality, Dortmund have better.
Squad player, you know, when you get your new kit, Mike, you know, you walk in there and they've got like, they're the only squad that has three numbers on the kit numbers when it comes to squad selection. JJ, before I get you there, we've got a comment from Ali A. I think this one's directed at you, Mike. The prediction for this game is 7-0 from Ali A right there. JJ, what is your prediction for this game?
I'm sorry that I can't share Benji's optimism in terms of the number of goals. I actually have this one being 1-1. I've got a feeling that Dortmund will snatch a late leveler on the night and eventually go through 2-1. But no, I mean, it's a really interesting debate, and I'm sure we'll get to it when we cover PSG going up against Bayern Munich. This sort of the lesser importance of away goals, with the new rules coming in. So for me, I think that Dortmund still have the slight edge, but they absolutely can't afford to let Chelsea score more than once.
I'm going to say that Borussia Dortmund keep this fine winning run going. I think they beat Chelsea. I've watched Chelsea so many times, as we all have here, and I just don't know how Chelsea can beat Dortmund. Dortmund are a team that are capable of scoring two or three goals against any team. All right, let's turn our attention to the other game, of course, on Tuesday. It's Benfica against Brugge. I think we can keep this one relatively quickly here. JJ, I'll come to you first on this one here. Benfica, I mean, listen, it's pretty much straightforward with a victory away from home against Brugge. They left it into the second half. It was 0-0 at half time, two goals in the second half. Probably should have been 4-0 in that game, but Benfica a clear favourite to go through in this tie.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that Benfica pretty much have it tied up from the first leg. It wouldn't surprise me to see, you know, a less intense second leg. I do think Benfica will win. I don't think it'll be anything spectacular, probably by a goal or so. But for me, Brugge, I think the achievement was getting out of the group stage. I can't really see them pulling off anything here, certainly not. Given their form of late in the last couple of months. So for me, this one's going to be a narrow Benfica win and, quite an easy path into the quarterfinals, or a straightforward one, I should say.
Yeah, I agree with you, JJ. Not seeing much in this one. I think Gonzalo Ramos does get back to the scoring charts, though. He has been in fuego since these two teams met last, getting, I think, three goals in his last few games. Look for him to be the baller.
I mean, there's quite a lot riding on this for Scott Parker, who kind of has a job to save. They lost to Ostend, I think, who are in the Belgian relegation zone. And this is something all our American listeners will appreciate. They're fighting to get in the playoffs, man. You know, thank you, Belgian League, for doing this. They are clinging on to fourth spot. Scott Parker is clinging on to his job, admitted he might face the sack. I mean, this is basically a game for Brugge where you've got to avoid any further humiliation. I don't think anyone would sack Scott Parker because he didn't beat Benfica, but I'm certain he could lose badly enough to lose himself his job. I don't know. I don't know about you guys. I've always wondered what would happen if you took like a mid-table team from a mid-tier European league and chucked them into the business end of the Champions League. And hey, we're finding out. Not a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, not a lot. And by the way, they didn't just lose at the weekend. They got absolutely 3-0. Pumped at the weekend, 3-0. Yeah. I mean, that was an embarrassment. But he hasn't lost many games. If I'm not mistaken, he's only lost three games since he's taken over in 23, but he just can't win games.
Wasn't there that scene, though, where Mignolet followed him down the tunnel a couple of weeks ago, like ranting and raving about how bad the team were?
Brilliant, by the way. I thought that video, if you haven't seen it yet, go check that out on social media. It was like a scene from a movie, wasn't it? Where you just see the coach like quickly, like brisk walking through, and then you see the player screaming in his ear, which is unusual to see.
You can hear Mignolet before you see him, though, in that video.
Oh, yeah.
Real quickly, Mike, I want to ask you about this Benfica side. You mentioned it already. You've touched upon the fact that they're scoring goals. Jean Mario scoring goals. We know, obviously, Gonzalo Ramos is scoring goals. Silva's scoring goals. We know they're dangerous. But what is it in particular, just from you, that makes this Benfica side so special?
I think it's their willingness to move in transition. Transition is where I saw them in the group stages against the likes of a PSG, and Juventus. And it's the numbers they throw forward. They're such a good counterattacking team, and they're young. They have players who don't know how good they are, and they don't care who they're playing on the week. It could be in league or in the Champions League. They play the same way. They're well-coached, and they're well-drilled.
All right, let's take a quick break. More to come when we come back. We'll turn our attention to Wednesday's games. House of Champions. We'll be right back after this short break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring.
If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Well, don't miss a second of the action from the greatest club competition on earth. That is, of course, the Champions League. Follow the biggest stars from the world of soccer like Lionel Messi, Karim Benzema, Victor Osimhen, and Erling Haaland as they try to clinch the most prestigious prize in the beautiful game. All of your soccer needs, from the Champions League to Europa League to Serie A to NWSL and so much more, is available to you on Paramount Plus. You can try 1 month free by using the code ADVANCE. Welcome back to House of Champions, everybody. Ian Joy alongside Michael Lahoud, Jonathan Johnson, and James Bench. We turn our attention to the big one, or should I say the big one. Let's go for it, JJ. It's Bayern Munich against Paris Saint-Germain. Looking forward to this game for obvious reasons. Big Bundesliga follower, you're Paris Saint-Germain. Obviously, you cover them so closely. This is a massive game for PSG. They find themselves behind in the tie. They were a bit unfortunate with injuries going into that first leg. What type of a reaction and performance are you expecting from Paris Saint-Germain at a very difficult place to go play? Even though Bayern concede goals, they're actually on a very good and consistent run at this moment in time.
It is a difficult place to go, but let's not forget the last time PSG were there, they did get the win. And I think as well, obviously, a lot's changed. There's no away goals rule anymore, which is how PSG made it past Bayern last time out. And I think that plays into PSG's hands, because what's gone on the last couple of weeks actually really puts PSG in this position now where there's not really anything for them to lose. You know, either they give it everything, come up short, and at least they tried, or, you know, they do everything they can to, you know, be as good an attack as we know that they can be on their day. And they potentially punch some holes in this Bayern defense, because like you said, Bayern are certainly not vulnerable. Bayern are not infallible. They are vulnerable at the back. And I think that's going to give PSG a lot of confidence. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of reasons for them to be pessimistic coming into the game. No Neymar, Presnel Kimpembe out for the rest of the season. You know, you've got this dubious Ashraf Hakimi situation where he probably will play, but there's major noise surrounding him at the moment because of the recent rape allegations and charges placed against him in France. And then you have Marquinhos, who picked up a knock over the weekend. He won't be 100% fit, but probably will play. I mean, I think in many ways, what's happened in the last couple of weeks have simplified the situation for PSG. Basically, it's go out there, score goals. If you don't score goals, you're going home. So for me, I can see PSG scoring, and I can see them scoring more than once. But can I see PSG keeping a clean sheet in Germany? Not at all. You know, PSG's defensive stats this year have been absolutely dreadful. And even with a full strength defense, I wouldn't have that much confidence in them keeping Bayern out. So I think this one's going to go beyond 90 minutes for me. And I think it probably will be the most goal-rich of the games this week.
Love it.
I completely agree with JJ's assessment of what the final result will be. I am baffled, flabbergasted, and stunned with his suggestion that that this is a sort of nothing to play for, a free hit for PSG. I mean, this is the competition.
Not that it would be nothing to play for, but it's nothing to lose, basically. Like, there's no point them coming and being pragmatic about it and trying to be defensive. It's just go all-out attack. I mean, yeah, we know the season's over if PSG go out. That is, there's no doubt about that.
I think there's this strange thing where, yeah, I mean, and I completely agree, they need to go all-out attack. But then that's always where the problem is, isn't it? Is that it's all about the attack. Normally it's Neymar and Mbappe, but this time around it would be Messi and Mbappe are up in that final third of the pitch while all the action's happening at the other end. And, you know, I have to say, I feel like I've already seen this game because I've seen it when PSG play Liverpool. I've seen it when PSG play countless teams, Real Madrid, that ultimately, you know, there will be moments where you think PSG have done it, but Bayern are a complete 11. I think their defense doesn't get the credit it deserves. Upamecano was wonderful in the first leg. Mm-hmm. And they are a team, and teams tend to be individuals. And I think in the end, you know, PSG will be defending Bayern Munich's 11-man attack with nine players. That, to me, is where this tie is won and lost. And for all the brilliance of that front two, like, give me 11 very good footballers instead.
Mm-hmm. But I've seen it's almost been addition by subtraction, though, in the last couple of weeks since the Neymar injury with PSG. More balance in their team. Yes, Messi and Mbappe are doing everything up front, but there is more of a balance to this team. And JJ, is it possible
still conceding, to even, though? Still conceding a lot.
Still getting wins. Still getting wins, have to be said. And getting goals as they build up to this tie, which they will. Is it possible, though, for PSG to even be pragmatic with the way they're set up? I don't think so. I don't think they will care one bit. It's all about getting this man right here, Kylian Mbappe, in front of goal. Remember the last game? When he came on, it was a difference. It was just momentum shifting from PSG. But James, I do agree with you. This Bayern Munich side, how many times have we looked to count them out? How many times have we said, and we've all said it at one point, not just Ian, that there's something not right with Bayern Munich? The guy who doesn't get enough credit, he's just proving the naysayers wrong, Choupo-Moting. This guy just scored again at the weekend. I thought he was one of the better players on the field in the first leg. He will be motivated. He has a decent goal-scoring record against former teams. He will be highly motivated to make a statement in the second leg.
New contract as well for Choupo-Moting, JJ.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was surprised that he didn't manage to score in the first leg. But then again, I think he hit the post and came very close anyway. So, you know, he did everything but put the ball in the back of the net. Really wouldn't stun me if, you know, he was to score for Bayern in this one. But I mean, I think as well, you know, there's a lot to be said about how Nagelsmann goes about rearranging his defense in this one. Because let's not forget, there's no Pavard now. So that means there's going to be a lot of responsibility for Upamecano and De Ligt. You know, and I think as well, the area that was most interesting for PSG, certainly in the second half of that first leg, because they were woeful in the first half. It really was poor. Was when you got Nuno Mendes ripping into Bayern on PSG's left side, so on Bayern's right. That was probably the most direct route to goal in sort of the final 20 to 25 minutes once Mbappe was on the pitch. And I think that that's what Galtier will try to set PSG up to do. And I mean, obviously as well, when you have somebody like Hakimi who can, you know, on his day, you know, add a lot of width on the right as well, you know, that could potentially make things very, very direct for PSG. I mean, I think without Neymar in this, given where he's at the moment, it's probably a blessing in disguise, because I think Messi and Mbappe at this moment in time is a more productive combination than a Neymar and Mbappe, and certainly a Neymar and Messi. The issue for PSG, as always, is what happens in that midfield. Apart from Marco Verratti being the creator, what else does that midfield give you? Because it doesn't usually give you that much. You know, you get a solid performance from the likes of a Danilo. But Ruiz is sort of flattered to deceive at times. It could be, you know, the moment that, you know, is really sat up for him to deliver an impressive performance. But, you know, if Verratti is not absolutely on it, as you expect he probably will be, you know, PSG's midfield will probably be, you know, their shortcoming here.
I'm really looking forward to this game for obvious reasons. And I think this will be the test. You know, Mike, you had touched upon it, the fact that, you know, I'd made many comments over this past season that there's something not quite right at Bayern. I think these are the games where you find out where Bayern Munich really are at. If they turn up and they score three or four against Paris Saint-Germain, I think we can safely say that goal scoring is not really a big worry for them. But we must not forget the fact that they have done very well in the group stage. They have obviously done well in Paris to get that lead and that slight advantage. It wasn't a great game. It was a relatively boring game, and we are expecting a lot more fireworks, especially from Paris Saint-Germain now that they have two very key players back fit and ready to go for this game. So I think this will be a very, very big test to see where Bayern Munich are. I think if PSG on their day, if JJ, we go back to the performance in Marseille, where I thought, wow, this PSG team will cause absolute mayhem for Bayern Munich. I know, James, we touched upon the fact that Bayern have been defending better, and Upamecano did have a great game, and they can. But they're also suspect to making mistakes and being vulnerable in big games when it matters most. These are the tests where I want to see from this Bayern defense how good they really are. how good this midfield is. And then can Tchoupo really be that guy? Is Sadio Mane 100% fit, ready to go for these big games? I don't know. That's my question. I don't know if Leroy Sané is going to be ready enough for this game. I don't know if Serge Gnabry's got the right mentality and mindset. James, you know him well. Is he ready to go for this big game? Because if Serge Gnabry's on his game,
he
could be the
game.
Difference maker. He loves it. But he's got to be able to turn up in these big games. Otherwise, Bayern Munich, and very easily, I could say this, Bayern Munich could very easily get knocked out in this match. And that's what I'm worried about. So my prediction here is that PSG turn up on the day and knock Bayern Munich out. Once again, I'm betting against Bayern Munich. JJ, I've got a feeling you're going for PSG as well, so I'll get your prediction first before the boys.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I'm absolutely certain about in this one is that it's not over after 90 minutes. I think PSG will win in the 90 and force extra time. Now, I'm not quite sure what happens after that. I have gone for 3-1 in my official prediction. It wouldn't surprise me if Bayern get a second. But the thing is, I wouldn't rule PSG out of winning this one by the two goals they need to go through. So I'm going to stick with my 3-1 after extra time, but I'm very, very close to being certain it's going to go beyond 90 minutes. Obviously, now you can be, you know, rest assured that it's not going to go beyond 90. Something will happen and, you know, contrive to prove me totally wrong. But no, I feel that this one, it just feels like it's going to deliver. There's so much at stake in terms of PSG's season. And like you said as well, you know, for Bayern in terms of sort of where they're at under Nagelsmann, you know, I think this one is really going to be one of those memorable Champions League nights from this edition.
Mike, prediction?
Oh, man, I'm torn because these are two teams I don't like. PSG for obvious reasons. Sorry, JJ. Got to give a shout out to OM.
I try to save you from that misery. And you know, look what's happened to you these last couple of weeks for not listening to Uncle JJ.
It was the skunked wine that I was drinking on that trip to France. So now I'm learning my ways. It is so hard to bet against PSG in this tie because of what I saw in the second half of that first leg. It wasn't like it was a dominant Bayern performance for 90 minutes. When Mbappe was on the field, the game changed, and I can't bet against Mbappe, man. This guy is that much of a difference maker. I think PSG 2-1 in regulation. It goes to extra time. That's all to play for. I could see this going to penalty kicks, and Sergio Ramos bottling it in the end. Bayern advances.
Yeah, I'm reminded of something Thierry Henry said to us last month, Ian, after that first leg, where he kind of listed the many, many problems with PSG. I think it was the structure, the form, the attitude, and then just those three words that will scare the life out of Bayern Munich defenders. They have Kylian.
It's difficult to say they can't go through because I've seen it. They won there with him scoring already. Not the same team, not the same thing. Mm. And here, when you have a guy like that, you can. Now, if you go back to the structure, I'm not too sure. If you go back to how they've been playing recently, I'm not too sure. With the desire that they have at the minute, I'm also not too sure. But they have Kylian.
Having said that, you know, Bayern Munich has some pretty good attackers too. I like everyone else, I think this is going to be an absolutely brilliant game. I think 2-2 in 90 minutes, Bayern Munich advance.
All right, there you have it. The boys have spoken. Everybody in the comments have spoken. We're going to take a quick 10-second timeout before we turn our attention to Spurs against Milan.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Well, don't forget, if you want to listen to that full interview with Thierry Henry, myself, and James Benz, you can go ahead and check it out on House of Champions YouTube and, of course, all over the podcast format as well. Terrific interview, James, it was. Thierry, obviously very open. He was sensational, actually, and he loves a long answer. I'll tell you that much. James, what was your overall thought on the answers?
He couldn't get a word in edgeways. When you get that guy going, especially on the topics he loves, when he's talking about strikers, you just got to sit back and listen. And I think to an extent, you know, even yourself, Ian, I mean, let alone me, someone that's never played the game, what on earth do I have to tell Thierry Henry here about Haaland and Mbappe and Harry Kane? You know, you just sit back and you listen to one of the all-time greats, you know, and certainly the greatest player that a certain section of, anywhere in North London has ever seen.
I can tell you this, James. I feel like I never played the game when I'm sitting listening to Thierry Henry talk about the beautiful game. It was awesome. You can go check it out on our YouTube page. Let's turn our attention to the other game taking place on Wednesday. It's Tottenham against AC Milan. Milan with that slight advantage. Michael, come to you first on this one. Cracking game. Who wins and why?
Believe it or not, I'm going Tottenham Hotspurs. From what I saw from AC Milan this weekend, the thing that worries me about them most is when they come on the road in the Champions League, they just don't bring it. We saw it when they came to Stamford Bridge at Chelsea, a completely different AC Milan team. Were they at full strength at the weekend? No, but their back three were all over the place. They struggled to cope with the movement of Fiorentina's front line. And Jovic is no Harry Kane. And Tottenham, yes, they lost two on the bounce, but they had chances. They had chances at the weekend, and on any other day, I think they put them in. I think Harry Kane, the difference maker in this game.
Nah, not having it.
Really?
Yes, of course, Harry Kane is a difference maker, but I mean, like, so the difference between the difference between Tottenham of this season and the reason that Antonio Conte has kind of lost the fans, hard to imagine that a year ago, is that it is pretty much devolving into the Harry Kane show. Richarlison, still no goals in the Premier League. Son, I think it's now been going long enough and he's old enough that we have to say, this isn't blip, this might be decline. And Kulusevski is fantastic, but he's more creator, not finisher. And then I think you kind of look at everything behind there and there's not a platform. There wasn't really last season, but Kane and Son and Kulusevski could do it all by themselves, but they're really missing Bentancur. And Bissouma would be quite helpful as well. Skipper's come in and done a really good job. They are awful, God awful to watch. And there is nothing linking this team together. I can absolutely see them grinding out, and what I predicted, that they'll grind out a 1-0 win, and then it goes to the lottery of penalties. I kind of had Milan shading that because I think, you know, Maignan's a fantastic goalkeeper. But like, God, I'm really disappointed that this is going to be the game I'll be watching.
Just,
I might even have to go there and it'll
James,
be like -4 degrees.
Just say it that you're going to think you're going to pick Spurs to win. Just say it.
I know I've got Milan to win on penalties. It's not going to be a good game. If you're wondering which stream to load up on Paramount Plus, like, do not load up. So we've just got a picture, the video that Nigel Riococca sent us of a baby resisting having a Tottenham Hotspur shirt put on them. And like, look, I can't blame them because fans are a lot older than
him. Cruelty, surely.
I know fans are a lot older than him that have never seen their team win a major bit of silverware beyond the Audi Cup. So,
I think many people in my family feel like I was like that with my younger brother, forcing a Villa shirt upon him, and then decades of misery followed. But to be honest, it's interesting hearing James saying what he was saying, because I've gone for a similar outcome. I actually went for it to finish 1-1 on the night. I don't think there's going to be a huge amount of goals. That was probably me being optimistic and hoping that James will be spared extra time and potentially penalties and freezing cold.
The other side of London.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, if it does go beyond 90, but mainly because of the ineptitude of both sides being able to score. Regardless of who goes through, I don't think that either side is going to be able to go that much further and make a dent in this competition, you know, based on what we've seen from them over, large swathes of the season now. But, I think for Milan, if they were able to knock Spurs out, which I think that they will be able to do in this tie, I think that could be considered a success to get themselves back to the quarterfinals. You know, that would, you know, at least show some progress in what's otherwise been a fairly underwhelming season, for the Italian giants. But for Spurs, I agree with James. It feels like it's almost like the end with Conte now can't come quickly enough for them.
I should just say, I know that you guys will be really worried about me having to go and watch the football for free in a magnificent stadium, one of the best sports stadiums in Europe. I know you'll all be very worried that I might be a bit bored because the football's not good enough. But on the bright side, my fiance does have COVID at the moment, so there's a distinct chance I won't be able to leave the house. So every cloud has a silver lining. I might get to
blessing, blessing in disguise, right there, James Finch.
James is just rubbing himself up on every door handle and himself out of it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Oh, right, real quickly before we do get out of here and turn attention to the Europa League, I want to get your opinion as to how many English teams actually go through here, because we're on the bubble here. Mike, I'll start with you, then JJ, then James. So obviously the four teams in there didn't win, but three of them at home in the second leg. So Mike, who have you got going through here from the English Premier League?
Oh man, I'm gonna go Manchester City. I think RB Leipzig didn't do their first leg performance justice by getting that goal that they needed to go to the Etihad. And surprise, surprise, I'm gonna put the Drake curse on Tottenham Hotspurs. I'm putting the curse on them. Look, if they, yes, they two losses on the bounce, that's worrying, but they created chances and were so unlucky. I mean, hit off the bar, hit off the post. Chances, if it goes a couple inches the other way against Milan, it's a different story. So Tottenham City,
that's it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, JJ.
City. I'd love to think that Liverpool could mount some incredible comeback after the results against United. I know that Mike doesn't want to go there, but I don't think it will happen.
I mean, look, as Ed noted, this Tottenham season, it's all really about Beyonce at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I'm there on the day of the FA Cup final, which I just said to my editors, I'm not doing the FA Cup final. I got Beyonce tickets. And they were like, yeah, fair enough. I have two. I have, as I said earlier, Chelsea and, like everyone else's, City. The one thing I would say is I am convinced that there will be a moment where we think Liverpool might do the unimaginable. I think they might get like 2-0 up, say, in the Bernabeu. I think we all forget how good they were for the first 20 minutes. Like, Madrid will get through that, but I think Liverpool will have a moment.
Can I just say that Real Madrid have been absolutely dreadful to watch since that game. I've watched every game. I've made a couple of wagers on them since that game because I thought, oh my God, Real Madrid are awesome. No. They have been dreadful to watch. And after that performance yesterday from Liverpool, who knows what can happen. And it is the beauty of the Champions League. I think City and Spurs go through, just to throw in my two cents as well. All right, let's turn our attention to the Europa League. There's a lot of great games to look forward to, obviously, on Paramount Plus. The round of 16 first leg games, these will be. I'm really excited about the Europa League. I think that, James, there's a lot to look forward to for obvious reasons. There's some big teams still in there. There's some wonderful Cinderella stories with the Unions going head-to-head. But I can only imagine that Arsenal's going to have a lot of your attention in that game against Sporting.
Yeah, that's all right. I mean, I'm intrigued as to how strong they really kind of, how much they commit to this. And especially like the emotional energy they consumed on them. On Saturday, it'll be really intriguing to see who's up for that game. Look, they've got great depth. I think their depth is really underappreciated. And, you know, Reece Nelson, Emile Smith Rowe both made good contributions in that game. I think they'll go strong for the first leg and try and get it won. You'll see players like Xhaka come in. But I think the big issue they're going to have is that they may not have a striker. Trossard injured and Nketiah injured. Gabriel Jesus is just working his way back to full fitness. So, I did my predictions when the draw was made, and I actually have them going out to Sporting, who are a pretty good team, and we've seen they do raise it for the European nights.
Yeah, I'm really keen on seeing that Roma Real Sociedad tie, the battle of two fourth place teams in their respective leagues. Roma off the massive win against Juventus, and something I didn't see coming in that. Moise Keane lost his head pretty much coming on. What came on 89th minute sub, minute later, gone off the field. Didn't matter. Roma getting a statement win against the Bianconeri. And Sociedad, they've been inconsistent. Start of the season well, but I've really been impressed with them in the Europa League. That's going to be a good tie across the two matches.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they have dropped off domestically of late. I was lucky enough to get a bit of time with some of the higher-ups at Sociedad a couple of weeks ago. Really, really interesting chat about a very, very, I wouldn't necessarily call them unique, but a club that's doing things a lot differently, because obviously we associate Basque football with Athletic Club and their sort of 100% Basque policy, where only players who are either born in the region or at least hail from it can represent the club. And talking to the likes of the sporting director, to vice captain Oyarzabal as well, was absolutely fascinating, and it really strikes me as the standout tie in this one, and I'm keen to see how it plays out.
Really looking forward to myself the Juventus against Freiburg game. Obviously, I want to see how Freiburg cope against a giant in Juventus who just lost against Roma, which was a cracking game to watch, by the way. Yes, I don't know if anybody caught it on Paramount Plus. It was a brilliant game. But Juve just lacking a little something extra to get over the finish line. Roma looked decent at the end, picking up, obviously, very vital points for them. So I'm excited to see how Freiburg can handle that situation. 0-0 for them at the weekend on the road to Gladbach. Mike, real quickly on Manchester United against Betis. What type of reaction are you expecting from Manchester United after getting absolutely pummeled by Liverpool?
I'm expecting a big reaction, because they're going to have a reaction, or else it could all go sideways. We've seen this before from United, maybe not to the extent that we saw 7-0 at Anfield, but I go back to the reaction they had at the start of the season, getting absolutely pumped against Brentford 4-0. A bit of a look in the mirror sort of moment, self-reflection period needed for this team. But the best thing that happens as a player is having not a lot of time to dwell on a game where you got a game in a couple of days to right the wrongs of what happened at Anfield.
Hey, JJ, real quickly, no French teams. What's up with that?
Yeah, obviously hugely disappointing. It's now all riding on Nice in the Europa Conference League, which, to be honest, I think actually they have a good shout of winning when you look at the way they've picked up under Didier Deschamps of late. But yeah, hugely disappointing that there's no French team in the mix for this, especially given the way that some of them put themselves in the driving seat and then shot themselves in the foot.
Really looking forward to it. Everybody out there, thank you so much for jumping in the comments. We appreciate all of you. Some cracking ones there. BX Gunner saying he wants that trophy. Of course, why wouldn't you want that trophy there? He also says there's some big scalps in this competition left to go. Lokesh Rai jumping in and said, where's our biased man, Nigel? Where's he gone? Don't know. I've no idea where the biased man is.
Sat in some dressing room somewhere, yeah. So he can give us one of his anecdotes next time he's on.
A lot of great comments from the Champions League as well, but I want to thank everybody out there for jumping in the comments and making sure you enjoy the show. This show is being created for you. House of Champions is not just our house, it's also your house as well. We're back at it again on Tuesday, post-games, 5 p.m. Eastern, so make sure you jump in and join the show then. Big thanks to everybody out there who's listening to House of Champions. Please make sure you take a minute to leave us a rating and a review on your favorite podcast platform. We are available, of course, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere else you listen to your podcast. We're also available as video, so subscribe to us and like and leave a comment on YouTube as well. It means the world to all of us. Boys, appreciate you always. Enjoy the games. Thank you very much for your predictions and all your wonderful comments. We'll see you on Tuesday after the games. Everybody out there, see you then.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.